Access number 28679, Mr. Albert Earl, Reel 4. Now, you also, there's a note here that says that you're a de facto company runner, you know, on active service. Now, could you comment on that? Because I know you don't want to do that. Tell me about what it meant.
The company runner on active service follows the company commander around and runs any errands. Because if you're not in radio contact with the platoons, then the runner's got to take messages and that kind of thing. Well, out of the front line, shall we say, like in camp, well, the company runner hasn't got a job, so he helps the company clerk. So I was quite happy to be helping the company clerk. But when we went on active service, I could see this was not going to be a nice job to be doing. And I didn't fancy it at all. I thought, I'd sooner be on my own as a rifleman. So I asked to be put back to a section as a rifleman.
And there was no objection to that?
No objection. I don't think the company commander liked it, but anyway, he agreed. I said I didn't want to
now
do it.
Now, this has got a point, because I think you heard that somebody took your place, and what happened to them, just to make the point.
Yeah, well, the guy that took my place, he had a pretty rough time when we went into action, and he got killed eventually. So I consider I took the right decision.
Now, what happened next then? You weren't with them in Palestine long, from the looks of things, just a month or so. Because in early 44, you go to Italy. Now, so you'd just be there a few weeks in, I'm not sure.
I think it was more than that. We were there for Christmas, I remember that.
In Palestine?
So in Palestine over Christmas. And then I think it was about the beginning of March when we eventually got to Italy. But we were due to go to reinforce a unit in either Crete or Leros. No, not Crete. Leros or Kos. And some of the unit were actually on a battleship ready to go across. And they all had to carry a 2-gallon can of water, because apparently there's not a lot of water on those islands and they had to be self-contained. But they actually got as far as on the ship, and that was cancelled. The islands were overrun by Germans. So that didn't happen. So they all came back to the transit camp, and we sat about there for a few more weeks, and then we were sent off to Italy.
Now, what do you remember the journey to Italy from Gaza, essentially?
We went. Where did we go from Alexandria? I think it was. And it was quite uneventful.
You went by sea?
By sea, yes. And we landed at Naples.
Now, what do you remember of the landing at Naples?
Not very much. We thought it was a very shabby place, a shabby port. But we didn't see anything of it, because we were loaded straight onto trains and taken down to Taranto. Because we were going to reinforce the 10th Indian Division, who were assembling in Taranto.
Were you actually going to be part of the 10th Indian Division?
Yes, part, but separate, in a separate brigade or separate battalion.
Now, what happened when you got to Taranto then?
Not much, a little bit of training. Well, you trained anyway. Wherever you were, you trained if you weren't doing anything, any active service. So it was just really an assembly area, and then we moved off again up by train. Partly by train and then by truck eventually.
What was the train journey like?
Well, in cattle trucks. I mean, nothing. You just sat down in a cattle truck, or depending on how long it took, you know, it took days, not hours. So you'd be sleeping in it, and they'd just trundle along and be stopping here and there, and you'd stop somewhere for pick up some food, some rations, or a meal.
And where was the railhead you got off at? Because you said trucks then, so
I can't remember.
Now what?
It was as far as they'd got the rail working, because as you got up farther, the Germans were breaking up the rails, blowing bridges and blowing the tracks every 100 yards or so to make it absolutely impossible to use.
So then you took to the trucks?
Yeah.
Mm. Now you went to the Pescara sector.
Mm.
So that's where they were. That's where you finally reached the front line, is it?
Yes.
Pescara. Now what was the situation there?
It was static, and we were just manning posts, really. We went forward at night into slit trenches, and then back during the day.
Now, can you describe the situation in a bit more detail? You seem to have been in a forward post called Punch an Item.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly were these defence works? The farm buildings were Punch, were they?
Yes. And the forward building was called Item. I don't know where they were.
Just in the Pescara area.
Area, yes.
Now, what was what was happening at Punch? What was there?
Nothing. It was just an assembly area where we could sleep during the daytime, and where the ration truck could come to feed us. During the day, nothing was happening on either side. At dusk, we used to move forward and take up the forward positions.
Now, what were these forward positions? This is the Item post, then.
Yes.
Now, what were they? Can you describe the nature of these defensive positions?
They were two-man slit trenches, and because it was an Indian division, we took over off the Gurkhas. And when we jumped down into their slit trenches, they came up to our waist. So we had a digging job to do before we started, which wasn't a good idea, really, because it's a bit noisy. But anyway, I don't know whether we were noisy or what happened, but the first night that we went forward, we got shelled as we were going along. Well, that was our first real taste of war, with shells dropping round us. And this is where, as I was saying, the training then came in useful, because unlike the First World War, where they used to do a raid and they'd charge along regardlessly, we learnt how to get down at the highest possible speed and the nearest hole or rut that you could find. And I think because of that, we were flattened out on the ground, and we survived. We, you know, all through, we got away with it.
Did it make you nervous, shellfire?
Oh, rather. Yes, pretty deadly.
But your training saw you through it. So you put your survival down in that particular case, at least.
And other cases thereafter, yes.
You were occupying, each night these two-man slit trenches. Now, what was it like being just two of you, I presume, in this slit trench? What was it like?
Well, we used to have one on, one off. One would rest. I mean, it wasn't much chance of sleeping, but one would rest and the other one would be alert. And well, you couldn't see anything, but you just watched out and listened.
And what were the enemy doing? Your purpose was...
Just holding the line.
Were you sentries in effect? Or what?
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, it was more listening than looking, and as far as we were concerned, nothing happened. But we did have to do some patrols, which meant we were overlooking a valley, and we'd go down into the valley and
now,
just.
Tell us, how would you prepare for these patrols? How many would go? What would you be armed?
A section at a time, which is should be six people, and we'd have our rifles and our hand grenades, and just creep along.
What formation?
In line, following.
And what were you do? What were you looking for with the patrol? Were you looking for trouble, or were you just looking for reconnaissance, or what was it?
Reconnaissance and just seeing if there was any other movement. Madness, really, but I mean, I can't see what it achieved. But fortunately, we never met another a German patrol, so we got back safely.
And you so no contact on the patrols?
No.
What about, it's a bit about food rations. What were your rations? What food did you get? You seem to remember more about your food here than in other places, but what food would you get?
It was what they called compo rations. That they it used to come in boxes, and there were cans of meat and veg and cans of bully beef and tea and sugar and that sort of stuff, and it was up to the cooks to make something of it if they could, but half the time they couldn't, because you're cooking on a field kitchen, which usually was a box of earth soaked with petrol, so that it made a sort of a stove which they could heat stuff up on. So they used to get a certain amount of other things, flour and stuff, and they'd sort of try and make fritters to make it a bit more interesting. But and then there was always the biscuits to fall back on, the old army dog biscuits.
What were they like?
They were terrible, really. But When we had the opportunity, I used to soak them and try and get hold of something from the, you know, when we lined up for our tea or whatever meal it was. You'd have a bit of one slice and a half of bread and some jam or something like that. Well, nobody seemed to be very keen on the jam, so I used to help myself to that and mix it with the biscuits and make a little stove and warm it up. So we had a free meal in the evening. But now we used to get we used to call it American fat bacon, which was tins of bacon, and it was very fatty and had the rind left on, and it was pretty awful, but we used to enjoy it.
What about water ration or tea? I mean, plenty of water or enough water?
When we were moving along, we were allowed our quart water bottle, and we weren't allowed to drink it without permission. So, you know, that was our daily allowance.
And tea as well, get that as well, or is that on top of that? Or
that's it. That was with the meal. There was tea for breakfast and tea for every meal, really.
Now, what about you? How long did you stay in the Pescara sector? You seem to have done a lot of moving, but I'm not quite sure where. I'm not sure you know where either, and that's perfectly normal.
No. Pescara area. Where did we? When things started moving in the spring, we started advancing. We were moved into the centre part, into the mountains of Italy, and most of the time it was pretty hard going because you were carrying all your gear and going up and down mountains, and there was no support from artillery or tanks because they couldn't get up because all the roads had been blown. So they couldn't get transport. It was difficult to get food up to us. So it was purely an infantry battle, and we just edged forward all the time on foot.
Now, I don't know whether this is before or after. Your brother's killed, isn't he?
Yes.
Is that before or afterwards?
That was afterwards.
Right, so what's the next thing that happened that you remember of the fighting? You seem to be advancing through Terni, Spoleto, Foligno, Perugia to Umbertide. Then something happens at Umbertide.
Yeah, it was... the Germans were retreating, so we didn't sort of have any hand-to-hand fighting. They were going back all the time, but we were going and forward, and there was... It was shell fire going on. They had these mobile guns, self-propelled guns, they used to call them. And they used to bring those up and fire and then nip back as quickly as they could. So it was a bit harassing all the way. But Umbertide, yes, we clashed with the enemy there. Well, we were taking the village of Umbertide, and it was still occupied, so it was a fighting job, you know. You don't see people, but you fire at where they are, and they fire back, and one of the sections got... wiped out by mainly by one of them carrying a phosphorus bomb. They were issued to us, and a bit of shrapnel or something hit the phosphorus bomb and it exploded, and they were all severely burnt. So they weren't nice things to have to carry.
Now what happened to your platoon? That's one of the platoons. What happened to your platoon?
Well, we carried on through. We actually went through Umbertide, and the Germans
there's a bit about before retreating. You get to Umbertide about you advancing in open formation.
It was vineyards, and we were walking across in open formation, and suddenly a burst of machine gun fire came in amongst us. And our training paid off here. We were all on the ground as fast as possible, and that's the bit where I looked round to see where I'd been, and there was a cloud of dust where the burst had hit the ground. So I considered I was very lucky there and got away with that. And then we were crawling along further, and we'd sort of spread out now, and I was crawling along the hedge row and came to a gap and peeped through, and a burst of machine gun fire came through the gap. So I got away with that as well. And then I can't remember how we were we were called back anyway now, and we crawled back along and under the road through a drain pipe and got back to the town. But we'd achieved our objective. We'd taken the village of Ambatidi, but then we had to
So then you consolidate and someone would come through you.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So we stopped there, and then the next day another company passed through and went
and
forward.
And this is in the mountains, but it's still in the mountains.
Yes.
Now, one thing that obviously, what did you think of the phosphorus grenades? We haven't mentioned them before. Had you trained with them? What did you think?
No, we hadn't trained with them. We were just given them. And they would be the same as a Mills grenade. You'd if you had it were in close quarters, you'd throw the thing. But I think they were very dangerous, and as I've said, that we used to mislay them. And
now, you haven't said on tape.
No. I wouldn't carry one.
So what did you do with it?
I lost it.
You just threw it away?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a common reaction to them?
Yes. And I think they were probably withdrawn. I can't remember after that ever having any. But we more or less refused to carry them.
Now, how did you react to this news about your brother? I mean, it's obviously a dreadful thing to happen. I mean, but how did how did the army handle it, in the sense of, you know?
My mother wrote to the company commander because she thought he ought to know what was happening, and she wouldn't know how I would react. So she was really, you know, wanted him to keep his eye on me. But he called me away one evening and broke the news. But of course, I knew that George had volunteered to come to Italy, and with the hope of getting me transferred out of the infantry into the Remis.
And what had happened to him? Had he been killed in action, or was it in an accident?
It was in an accident in a lorry coming up through the mountains down in the foot of Italy, right, Vibo Valentis, I think it was called, the very south of the.
How badly did it affect you at the time?
Well, I don't know. It was a shock. It didn't. I think I was too preoccupied with what was going on. I mean, I was very upset because, you know, if not only that he was lost, that the fact that I was hoping to get away from the infantry to be with him.
Now, what happened next? There's an attack on Montone, still in the mountains, I presume. This is a night attack.
Yes.
Can you tell us as much detail as you can manage about that attack?
It was woody, hilly country, and we were all more or less on our own. One didn't know what the next door company was doing, and as far as we were concerned, we were advancing and getting shell fire all the way. We were sort of going round to the side of the village of Montoni, and we got so far and stopped. I don't know why we were stopping. Perhaps we were on the sideline, you know, and the CO was actually leading the company into the place, and our worst thing was we were in trees, and the shells were going over, but they were hitting the trees and bursting all around us, and we had orders to dig in, and we never stopped digging. You start off with a little slit trench to get in, and then there's another salvo of fire comes over and you start digging again. So anyway, we all survived.
What did you have to dig with? Just your entrenching tool? Or would you have a pick and
shot? No, just our entrenching tool, yeah.
How effective is it?
When the shells are coming over, it's pretty effective. and it's slow work, but yes, it's all right.
There's a story here that seems to have a talk about a friend of yours, the stretcher bearer, Cliff. Tell me about him. Was he a particular friend or your best friend in the unit?
Well, he was a friend because he'd come out from England at the same time. So he was... he didn't have best friends, really. He was a friend, and, we'd been together for all that time. So, he was... As we moved off for this night attack, he was sitting looking very dejected and disappointed because we were going and he wasn't going to be there. You know, he was our medical section, and he felt he was being deprived, sent back.
Now, this is a night attack on a farmstead. It doesn't say which one. Do you know which one?
No.
Now, what do you remember of this?
No idea.
Night attack?
Well, it was pitch dark, and we were going down into a little valley, and then approaching this farmstead on the other side of the valley. And as we went down, the a German machine gun opened fire, and it was obviously on fixed lines because it was firing down the valley. So we all dropped down and took stock of what was going on and watched this. They always had tracer in their ammunition, and we watched this tracer going about 10 feet from the ground. So we decided, well, that was safe. We could crawl underneath that, which we did. And we approached the little farmstead, which was only a little cluster of two or three buildings. And they sent up Very lights. And, of course, our training came in again. We flattened. And a stick grenade, if you know what a stick grenade is, the Germans, it was a stick with a bomb on the end of it, landed about 7 feet away from me, and I could see it lying there in the light from this Very light, and I got closer to the ground than I'd ever been before, and it exploded and no one got hurt because we were on the ground, and unless you get a direct hit, you're fairly safe with anything exploding because the shrapnel goes upwards. So anyway, then we got to this farmhouse, and I was quite happy to use my Mills grenade and an open door. After that, I thought someone had had a pot at me, so... But
you just rolled it in.
I threw it in and got out of the way quickly. But then we got
What impact did it have? I mean, did it?
I don't know, because we were bombarded then, and I got wounded with shrapnel. So I went back, so I never saw the result of my grenade.
You just got to you were going round the buildings when the this artillery fire landed. What happened exactly?
We'd taken the building and we were to consolidate there. So we were just doing that. We'd stopped and then this fire came down. Well, there wasn't time to think what to do to get into the building, and we didn't know what was there at that stage. So we got down, and I got as close as I could to a wall, and shielded a bit by a wooden thing on the ground. I got sprayed with shrapnel.
From an airburst or a burst?
A burst on the
And where were you
ground. Well, I had bits of shrapnel in my chest and leg and arms all down one side as I was...
Now, how bad were they?
They weren't bad. The MO was a bit worried about the one in my chest the following day, so I was scooted back as quickly as possible.